thing about me, I'm very basic. I don't have a lot of big words. I'm not very elegant in speech. But only thing I know to do is just say it and let God take it.
Amen.
Say it and let God take it. So we're going to start in the first verse of Genesis chapter 22. It's a very familiar reading here. Once we start reading, those that have read the Bible or even grown up in Sunday school would understand and know what we're talking about, because it's something very simple. Something that we've read and heard, a story that we grew up with. I've been in church my whole life, and this is one of the first stories that I learned, was a story about Abraham offering Isaac here. And it starts off in the first verse. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood, and burnt off for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. My son, he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar of the wood, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. We're going to stop reading right there. We want to take our main thought tonight and our main text out of the 8th verse, when Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. He'll provide a sacrifice. I want us to understand and know something tonight. We are no good in the eyes of God. Our sacrifices or our righteousness are just filthy rags inside of God. God had to provide a sacrifice in order for us to be able to even think about being saved.
Amen.
And I want us to focus upon that tonight, that God will provide, or God has provided himself a sacrifice. Just a few days ago, it seems like we were just celebrating the Easter, a time where we celebrated the resurrection of Christ. And I want you to know something tonight. If you don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you will never be saved. You will never, Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, I believe it's around the 18th verse, that he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not has condemned himself already. So in other words, if you believe not in the resurrection or the lamb that God had provided, the sacrifice that God provided, you will never be saved.
Amen.
Right. You know, the world wants to teach a lot of things about salvation, but there's one thing for sure. If you never believe in him, you'll never find it.
Amen.
You never believe in him, you never seek him. And you must believe that God provided this sacrifice for you. God, Abraham was telling his son, God will provide himself a lamb. In other words, God's going to provide a sacrifice for what we need done. Even though Abraham already had in his mind and known what God had told him that he was going to sacrifice his son. That he was going to have to take Isaac, his only begotten son, the one that God had promised him there, that he would be able to take him there and sacrifice him, that he knew that he was going to have to do it. But Abraham had faith. That's a whole other message for a whole other time. But he had faith that even if he took his life, that God raised him back up. Amen. I believe that with all my heart, because Abraham was given a promise. You know, God's children, we've been given a promise. This time we bring the lost to the altar. Let God provide.
Amen.
Let God provide. Quit trying to make them see the things that they need to see. Let God do the provision.
Amen.
We read in the book of Matthew, I believe it's around the 16th chapter, where Christ asked Peter one time, said, "Peter, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Well, some say you're this prophet or that prophet. Some say you're Jonas. Some say you're Isaiah or Elijah or whatever coming back." And he looked at Peter, he said, "But Peter," I know I'm ad-libbing a little here, but just bear with me. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed be thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." And remember, he used his full formal name.
Amen.
That's very important that you remember that.
Amen.
Very important that you remember that. Because that shows that he knew exactly who Peter was.
Amen.
He knew exactly everything about Peter. He said, "Blessed be thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood is not revealed to you, but my Father which is in heaven." So if there's going to be any revelation of Jesus Christ, it's going to come from the Father in heaven.
Amen.
My job here tonight is to tell you that God will provide a sacrifice.
Amen.
And I want you to know his name tonight. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And the Bible says that no other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved. There's only one that has authority of salvation.
Amen. Exactly.
Only one. And that's not me. That's not my Calvary Church. It's Jesus.
Amen.
He is the only one here tonight. And I said, did you hear that? He's here tonight. He is the only one here in our presence tonight that has authority to give anyone salvation. But before he will give it to you, he will draw you to it.
Amen.
He'll bring you. See, tonight when I got here, I didn't know where I was going. I still don't know if that's all right. But listen, he will provide what you need tonight.
Amen.
You might be here in Lawson, and I was one of the ones I'd brought up in church from by the time I was 2 weeks old. I was taking church. And my sister's here tonight. She can tell you I wasn't the best little kid in the world. I just might as well go ahead and admit it. Sister Kathy Carter's back here too. I got too many people here that can prove me wrong. So I might as well go ahead and just admit I wasn't the best little kid in the world. And I did some things wrong that I probably shouldn't have. But one thing I knew from the time I was old enough to know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
Amen.
I believed that law with all my mind. I was taught that by my mom and dad. I was taught that by the Sunday school teachers. I was taught that by the pastors of the church and the men that came and stood behind the desk that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If anybody was to ask me at any age, did I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I'd say, yes, I do. Yes, I do. You know why? Because that's what mom and dad told me. I believed mom and dad. I believed my sisters when they told me that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I believed the Sunday school teachers when they told me these things. But there was one that came to me and asked me if I believed. I was sitting on the front pew of the Amen Corner there at Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church. I was actually laying down a little bit. You see, I wasn't the best kid. I'd sit in the back and talk. So during revivals, Dad would make me sit up in front with him. And I was sitting there, and Sister Ann Wicks was sitting there in the front, back, second pew back, and she'd look at me every once in a while, and she'd shoot at me, and I'd shoot back. And the preacher started preaching. Started preaching from Revelation, talking about the pale horse, and he who rode on it was death, and hell followed after him. And you know, something got a hold of me right there and came to me, "Do you believe? Do you truly believe?" But it wasn't, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" He said, "Do you believe that I am the Son of God? Because that horse is coming for you." And when he asked me, it didn't matter what I believed here. He knew what I believed here.
Amen.
He knew what was going on down here. He was the one that God had provided. He was that lamb that John spoke about that said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world." He was the one coming to me that night saying, "Hey, Scott, quit playing. Listen, do you truly believe? Do you know who I am? Who do you say that I am? Do you just say that I'm Jesus? Or do you truly know that I'm the Son of God?"
Man.
Do you remember that he called Simon Bar Jonah by his full name. Because he knew him and Peter knew him. He showed us that there must be a knowledge of who he was, a heartfelt no-so knowledge of salvation, a knowledge of passing from death into life, being delivered. That's what salvation is all about. Amen. It's being delivered from that eternal death and giving eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
And tonight there's only one that has authority, and that's Jesus Christ. And the psalmist says that salvation belongeth to him.
Amen.
And to him only. It's not mine to give. It's not yours to give. It's his.
Amen.
Why? Because my righteousness are still the rights. I cannot be the sacrifice. I cannot be the one that the blood must come from. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. So understand this tonight, that there had to be a shedding of blood, and your blood was worthless for the sacrifice.
Amen. Amen.
Some people don't like me because I just get blunt to the point. Because we need to be blunt to the point. Because you know something that's running out very quickly? It's time.
Amen.
For every one of us. Every one of us. Each day that goes off the clock, time starts moving faster and faster and faster. And the next thing you know, death's knocking at the door. And you know what? You can try not to answer it. You can try to turn the other way, but when death comes, death comes.
Right.
And death will open the door, and death will come, and death will take your life. And therefore, the tree falls, therefore shall it lie. So if you die lost and separate from your sins, you will be lost and separated from God throughout eternity. And that's not a fun place to be. It's not even fun to think about. You know, I thought about it earlier. I went and got my haircut earlier this week. And I thought, you know, I got a bad haircut. Well, that's no big deal. It'll grow back. But if you die lost and separate from God, it is a big deal because there is no going back.
Amen.
Amen.
No going back. That's the rich man. I believe he's still there.
Amen.
I believe he's still there, looking up into Abraham's bosom, seeing Lazarus afar off. He begged for just a drop of the water up the fingertip of Lazarus. That hit might cool his tongue. Do you want to know something? Hell is real tonight.
Amen.
And heaven is sweet.
Yes.
Oh, heaven's so sweet. And we love preaching about heaven because it's so sweet. It excites us. But hell should put a fire in us.
Amen.
As the children of God, just as it did when we were lost. You know, I still think about that pale horse and he who rides on it named Death. And I still picture hell following after him. And each time that he comes up to another individual, he grabs him by the hair of the head and he throws him back into that pit that's fallen behind him called hell. And the Bible says in Isaiah that hell has enlarged herself. And you can close it up a little bit tonight by finding God.
Amen.
You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to. No, you don't have to. The Bible says, Jesus, and I quote him, that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. In other words, it wasn't prepared for you and I. But you know what was? There was something very special prepared for you and I before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
It's a plan of salvation.
Amen.
Before the world was formed. Let's go to 1 Peter there. I believe it's in the 3rd chapter. Give me just a moment. No, first chapter, the 18th verse says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold." In other words, the things you see in this world cannot save your soul. They're not going to last forever. You put your faith and trust in the things of this world, it's going to let you down.
Man,
I hate to say it, to put your faith and trust in me, eventually, I'll let you down. Something's going to happen. These corruptible things, they're going to go back to the wayside. All these things we like, the bling bling. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, the things that are shining just catch our attention. Oh, the big trucks, the big houses, the big cars, the nice clothes, all these different things, the nice game stations, the big TV, the big central thing that's in all of our living rooms. These things that we just die to have in the world are all going to be gone.
Amen.
Every one of them. You're not redeemed by any of them. None of them, he says. He says, "For much as ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by traditions of your father." Another thing, let me throw this in here real quick, and I'll get on. But just because daddy did it doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Man.
Understand that? There's only one thing that works for everyone, and that is repentance and faith and trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That will work. But just because daddy came to the altar doesn't mean that you're going to find him at the altar because you came the same way as daddy did. Just because daddy might have been in the cornfield or off here or out there or in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, a submarine, or in a foxhole or something, doesn't mean you got to be in the same position that mom and dad was. What means your heart's got to be in that same condition wherever you're at.
Amen.
And that's what matters.
Amen.
Traditions won't save you.
Amen.
Traditions won't save you. I'm not saying traditions are bad. I'm just saying traditions won't save you.
Amen.
So don't put your faith and trust in the tradition of your fathers. That vain reputation that you might hear, that are our testimony. I can tell you my testimony just like it's yesterday. You ask me in a few weeks, I'm going to tell you the same story. You ask me in a few years, I'm going to tell you the exact same story again. You ask me again, I'm going to tell you the same story. It's going to be a reputation of what happened that night, because when I got it, it'll never leave me. But it does not mean that you're going to find it exactly in the same spot that I did.
Amen.
Ask my son, Kyle. He went to the exact same spot on the altar for years that I went to. And you know what he found? Just a wet seat when he got up. I'm crying. That's all he found. But when he came the way God asked him to, and God told him to, and God showed him to, you know what he found? He found sweet peace.
Amen.
You know who wasn't there? Dad. Oh, no, I wasn't there. You see, so if you're waiting for somebody to be there, and we'll get back to this reading here in a minute, but if you're waiting for somebody to be here, you're going to wait, and you might wait yourself right into hell.
Amen.
Because I don't care who's here, who's not here. Just as long as Jesus is here, that's all that matters.
Amen.
And tonight, I want you to know He's here.
Amen.
He's here. It goes on, it says that we are not redeemed by these saints, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, whom by do you believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You see, it's all about Him and all through Him that you find salvation.
Amen.
It's not about me. It's not through me. Oh, no. No. It's all about God. And it's all through God. Or you don't get it.
Amen.
You don't get it. You see, there are some people who believe that you can go back here, Brother Taylor can dunk you under the water, and that you're going to come out just fine. You know what's going to happen? If you haven't been saved by God's grace, you're going to go in the water center, you're going to come out of the water center.
Amen.
And you're going to walk out the other side or wherever, and you're going to think everything's all right, and in hell one day you're going to open your eyes, you're going to say, "Well, Lord, I got baptized," and God's going to tell you, "I told you from that big mouth preacher from Indianapolis that that's not the way." And you didn't listen. Some people say the only thing you got to do is come down the aisle and go to the preacher and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's get something straight. The king must accept the peasant if there's any accepting to be done. And you're
Amen.
Not the king.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And He will accept your repentance unto salvation.
Amen.
And it won't be the other way around. But I will guarantee you this. It will be very personal when it happens.
Amen.
Very personal. If it's not personal, you didn't get it.
Amen.
You didn't get it because it's personal. You must go one-on-one with the Great One, or you will go one-on-one with no one.
Amen.
In order to find salvation. It's very personal. You see, there are things in this world that are taught that are very wrong. What I believe that I've told you about tonight has been the one since the foundation of the world. Through repentance and faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Solomon even told us in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not in thine own understanding."
Amen.
You say, "I can't figure this thing out." Well, quit trying to figure it out, because you can't, and you won't, and you never will. The only thing I know is that He loved me. I can't tell you how He done it. I can tell you why, but I can't tell you how He done it. Well, I'm not praying exactly right. Quit trying to pray the way you think you ought to pray. God's the one who provided the sacrifice, not you. So let Him do the guiding and directing, because you know what it says right after that verse in the sixth verse? He says in the third chapter in the fifth verse, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding." In the sixth verse, He says, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge who? Acknowledge God.
Amen.
And it says, He will direct your path. So in other words, if you're here and lost tonight and God's drawing you, you want to know what the first thing you need to do is acknowledge that God is drawing you.
Amen.
And you know what will happen after that? God will direct your path right to Him. Well, I don't know how to repent. Quit trying to repent and just let God show you how. He will be the one that directs you. You know, when I went to God, when He finally made me realize that I could do nothing and I was worthless, that is all about what Jesus could do for me, not what I could do for the Lord. Because I tried the match game. I tried bargaining. I've tried doing this and trying doing that. Well, Lord, I'll give this up. Well, how much can an 11-year-old really give up? Oh, but to me, I was giving up a lot. You see, you might say, "Well, I don't have much to give up." But if you're trying to give up something, it's always going to be a lot to that individual.
Quit trying to give things up. Quit trying to do things on your own to please God. Because you know what? This flesh cannot please God.
Amen.
Cannot, will not, and has not ever pleased God. The only one that has ever walked around in the flesh that has ever pleased God has been Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because He is the sacrifice that God has provided for each and every one of us. He's the Lamb. Read Isaiah 53. We're going to. We're going to worry your patience. We're going to try not to. But read Isaiah 53. It was because of our transgression, because of our chastisement, of our peace, that He had to die a cruel death. It's by His stripes you are healed.
Amen.
Why? Is it all about you? No. Keep reading Isaiah 53 there. It says, for it pleased the Father.
Amen.
You can't please the Father tonight. You have to have an intercessor, which is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can please the Father.
Amen.
You can't do it.
Amen.
Quit trying to. Quit trying to. He said, come unto me. Come. Why unto Him? Because He's the only one that can help you.
Amen.
I don't know your heart tonight. I don't know if any of this made any sense to anybody here tonight. But that's okay. That's okay. One thing God taught me early in the ministry. One thing He taught me to do, and I don't do it very well, but He said, you're just like the broadcaster. You just go out and you just broadcast the seed and I'll take it where it needs to go. He says, you just go out and let it go. Open your mouth and preach what I give you and let it go and I'll take care of the rest. Quit trying to figure out who's lost, who's not, who's concerned about their soul, who's not, who's got conviction on them and who doesn't. Just let me go. And tonight, we'll let God go.
Amen.
Let Him do His job. God called me to preach His word, not to save souls.
Amen.
He called me to preach His word.
Amen.
He didn't call me to heal anybody. He called me to preach His word.
Amen.
He didn't call me to do anything great according to man's eyes. He called me to preach His word.
Amen.
I wish right now that President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence was sitting right front row.
Amen.
I wish right now I could get an opportunity to speak with them. But you know what? That might come at a later date.
Lord help.
But I've got tonight.
Amen.
And I've got you. And you're stuck with me. Yeah. Yeah, you're going to learn in a few days. You're either going to like me or hate me. And if you like me, good, because we're going to spend eternity. If you're saved, we're going to spend eternity together. If you don't like me and you're saved, you might as well get liking me because we're going to be together throughout eternity.
Amen.
But one thing I do know, that if you leave here lost tonight, it's on your own accord.
Amen.
And not God's. It's by your own doing and not God's. People are trying in hell right now to blame God, but they can't blame God. You know why? God said, for I so loved the world that I gave my only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, beautiful verse, isn't it? Oh, beautiful. In the 17th verse, it talks about that Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. In the 18th verse, though, it tells who's to blame if they die lost and separated from God.
Amen.
He that believeth not is condemned already.
Amen.
So if you close your eyes in death and they wake in hell, it's not God's fault, it's your fault because He made a way.
Amen.
And if He's drawing you tonight and you reject that way and you die in that state, it's not God's doing. It's your doing.
Amen.
See, it's very personal. Salvation is very personal to me. Your salvation is very personal to me. That sounds funny, doesn't it? I don't even know you. It doesn't matter. I want to see you saved if you're not.
Amen.
And if you are, I want to see you rejoice.
Amen.
Yeah. Let your light so shine. Why? So they can see you? So they can see your goodness? No, they can see the glory of the Father which is in you tonight. I don't know where you're at with the Lord tonight. I don't know if you're close, if you're far away. If you're far away, draw near to Him, He says. And I'm going to draw nigh to you. And He says there's going to be some stuff you're going to have to do. Because He goes on and tells us to purify our hands and watch our hearts. In other words, He's telling us we must repent and come close to Him. Whoa, you mean repentance keeps going after salvation? Sure it does. I can testify to that one. You must repent. You must repent if you're going to be close to God.
If you want to see God in the services tonight, if you want to see God in this revival, if this church wants to be revived by the Spirit of God, if there's something between you and God, here's the altar.
Amen.
We don't have very many altar calls for those that are saved. But if you're saved and you need to meet down here, leave it at the altar.
Amen.
Don't take it back with you. Leave it there. Get close to God. Because there's too many around us that need to see the glory of God in our lives. Whether you're related to Him or not, whether you know Him or not, does not matter. Does not matter. I met the three young women at the motel this afternoon. You know what they need to see in my life? And they need to see, because whether I'm a member here or not, I'm representing this church at the motel, because your name's on it too. They need to see the glory of God.
Amen.
They need to see me trying my best to serve God in the capacity that He has put me in that time, in that moment. Whether I open my mouth or whether I just walk the walk. That's what they need to see.
Amen.
You know what these lost, I don't know, if there might not be one lost soul here tonight. But there is. You know what they need to see? They need to see you rejoicing. Because why would they want something that's not worth rejoicing over?
Amen. Amen.
That's something I miss in our churches today that I had growing up, that I was blessed of growing up. My sister's here, and I don't even know if she remembers it, but I was around 9 years old. We were sitting on the front row of the A Women Corner, and there was a shout service going on at Fellowship. And she was sitting next to me. And there's this man. I still have never seen this man again in my life. I don't know who he was. No one else does. But he got rejoicing. He walked around with a cane. And the only thing I remember is that cane stayed in that seat. But he did not. He came out and he was walking around the altar area shouting the praises of God. And that got to me and I started crying. Was I lost in our conviction? No. But I knew that man had something. I knew there was something that he had that I started desiring. You know, curiosity killed the cat, but curiosity brought the sinner to Christ. Sure did. It must start with curiosity. Why would they want anything that we got if we don't like it ourselves?
Amen.
That don't make
Amen.
Sense, does it? That don't make sense, does it? Oh, I want you to know I got something to be happy about.
Amen.
I got something worth shouting to the world about. Amen. I've got something worth dying for. Right here. Right here. You notice I didn't say my wallet? It's not my wallet. It's right here. It's right here. It's where God saved me. How He did it, I don't know. But I had an open heart surgery like never before. There's no scar. There's no scar there where He saved my soul. Where He took that burden of sin out. And He placed that peace of life. I think about how Peter described joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's not full of my glory. It's full of God's glory. Amen. When you get a hold of God's glory, you've got something worth shouting about.
Amen.
Sure do. Sure do. Church, I'm not telling you what to do except this. If God leads you, follow.
Amen.
If He doesn't,
Amen.
Don't. Just as simple as that. You know, salvation and following God isn't rocket science. It isn't. We've made it to be rocket science, but it's not. The Bible says that if we lift Him up, that He'll draw all men to Him.
Amen.
He was signifying His death, but I believe it's true today. If we lift up the cross, if we fall behind the cross, the world sees the cross, that we are hidden behind the cross, that they see Jesus in our life. You know what's going to happen? He's going to draw them to Him.
Amen.
You know what's going to happen after that? They're going to have an opportunity to find salvation.
Amen.
Isn't that what life's all about? Isn't that what life should be all about for each and every one of us? Whether we're preaching to a crowd, whether we're preaching to a small church, or whether it's just you and a camera, that's what it's all about.
Amen.
Letting the world know that God provided the sacrifice. That you might as well quit trying to be the sacrifice, because the sacrifice has came. He said, I am He that which was, which is.
What's that last part?
Which is to come.
Amen.
And then he doesn't stop there. He says, the Almighty.
Amen.
Tonight, He has the power in His hands. He has it. And He wants to give it to you. Church. He has the power to give to us.
Amen.
I'll say this and I'll try to close. And I'll try not to make it 45 minutes later, Brother Taylor. But I'll try to close after this. And I want you to think about this. The prophets of Baal done everything they could to get their false god to answer them. And they didn't. Never heard a word from him.
So Elijah told them there to build the altar back up. Put the sacrifice out and douse it in water. Dig a trench around it. Let's make it interesting. Let's pour water in the trench.
You think you got a god? What do you see what's getting ready to happen?
Man.
You think you got someone who can hear you? Wait till I speak a few words. Elijah didn't get up there and make a fool of himself, did he? So he prayed. What happened when he prayed?
God heard him.
Amen.
And you know what happens when God hears his children? The fire came down.
Amen.
And it just didn't just barely put a dribble of fire on the altar. The Bible said it consumed the altar. And then it lapped up all the water that was in the trench.
Amen.
There was nothing left because God came down.
Church, we can have that same power here tonight.
Amen.
All it takes is us to be willing to call on the one that can give it.
Amen.
And he can do it. I'm excited about being here. I am truly excited about being here. Ever since Brother Taylor first texted me about it, I've been excited about coming, because last time we were here, I didn't know why we were coming. I just thought I was coming to give Brother Taylor a hard time. And that's what I planned on doing. But when we left, and I think I've done it maybe a little bit, maybe not, I don't know. But when we left, I looked at my wife and said, I'm going back. I just don't know when. And then a short time later, I get a text from Brother Taylor about the revival. I'm excited about these next few days.
Man.
I'm excited about the power of God that we can feel. I told you I'd hush and we'd go 45 minutes longer and I'm going to hush. But I'm excited. And I hope you are too. Because there's something in the air.
Something in the air, and it's called the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And he's with us.
Amen.
He's with us. I believe what he told the church of Laodicea in the third chapter, I believe it is Revelation. He said, I stand at the door knocking. And a lot of times we hear that to the lost, but Christ was talking to the church.
Amen.
He said, I stand at the door knocking. He that would hear if he'd let me in.
We come in and sup for a little while. I want to eat at the table of the Lord this weekend.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Brother Taylor told me. This church can cook. But you know what? I don't care what church you're in, how good the cook is, there's nothing like the meat of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Oh, there's nothing like sitting down at his table. And him just putting his arm around you. People think I'm crazy at times. Oh, but I've been at my desk at work. And God just come up and say, son, you're having a hard day, ain't you? You got that daggone atheist down here messing with you again, don't you? Let's go get him. And you know what that man says now? He don't know if he's an atheist yet or not. You see, when the power of God comes on the scene, there's nothing that can stop you.
Amen.
So listen to me tonight. Whether you got anything else out of what I said tonight, listen to this. He's alive.
Amen.
Go to the tomb. He's not there. Disciples went there. He wasn't there. Oh, but when they were walking down the road and Jesus come and he was talking to them, they didn't actually realize who he was, did they? Oh, no, they didn't. And you know, there's times, even maybe tonight, that you don't realize he's here. But what happened when he left? There's a burden in their heart when he was talking about the scriptures, wasn't there? There's a burning. There's a knowledge that something happened, that he was there and he was with them. Tonight, I want us to have that knowledge that he was with us.
Man.
I don't know if you're lost or saved. I hope if you're lost, tonight you'll be saved. I hope if you're saved tonight, you'll rejoice.
Man.
One mistake y'all might have here is you don't have a clock that I can look at. That's good for me, maybe bad for you. But I don't want us to worry about what's going on outside.
Man.
I don't want to worry about what you got to do tomorrow. I don't want you to worry about anything else but what's going on here right now.
Amen.
Right now. Because what you got to do tomorrow might not ever get done.
Amen.
And you know what? There's nothing you can do about it.
Lord,
help. Nothing you can do about it. You might have a long list of things to get done tomorrow. Not one of them get done. I plan on going to see my other sister and my great nephew I've never seen yet tomorrow. But you know what? It might not happen. And if it doesn't, it's a good Lord to take care of everything else. But I've got right now. I do have what's going on here right now. I do. You do too. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I'm done. I'm throwing the ball in your court. Church, what are you going to do with the Word of God?
Amen.
What are you going to do with it? Preaching is not just for those who are lost.
Amen.
The other preacher is not the only one that can water the Word. Tonight, what are you going to do with the Word of God
Amen.
That He has dealt you? I've learned one thing in 30 years of ministry. That no matter how I think the message is going to go, someone else is going to get something else different out of it than I did when I studied. Or when I'm delivering it, they're going to think something else and hear something else than what I did. So what are you going to do with what God has given you out of the message tonight?
Amen.
What are you going to do with it? God bless you. I want to turn it back over to Brother Taylor to do whatever he would have from here. Because I'm done, brother.
Sure.
I'm done. It's hard for me to say that. But I'm done.
Sure. God bless you.